Chapter 18. To the White Tower. Egwene balanced on the healing deck as the River Queen sped down the wide Arranon under cloud-dark skies, sails full-bellied, white flame banner whipping furiously at the mainmast. The wind had risen as soon as the last of them was aboard the ships, back in Meadow, and it had not failed or flagged for an instant since, day or night. The river had begun to race in flood, as it still did, slapping the ships about while it drove them onward. Wind and river had not slowed, and neither had the ships, all clustered together. The River Queen led, only right, for the vessel that carried the Ammerlin's seat. The helmsman held his tiller grimly, feet planted and spread, and sailors padded barefoot at their work, intent on what they did. When they glanced at the sky or the river, they tore their eyes away with low mutters. A village was just fading from view behind, and a boy raced along the bank. He had kept up with the ships for a short distance, but now they were leaving him behind. When he vanished, Egwene made her way below. In the small cabin they shared, Nynaeve glared up at her from the narrow bed. "They say we'll reach Tar Valon today. The light helped me, but I'll be glad to put foot on land again, even if it is in Tar Valon." The ship lurched with wind and current, and Nynaeve swallowed. "I'll never step on a boat again," she said breathlessly. Egwene shook the river spray out of her cloak and hung it on a peg by the door. It was not a big cabin. There were no big cabins on the ship, it seemed, not even the one the Ammerlin had taken over from the captain, though that was larger than the rest. With its two beds built into the walls, shelves beneath them and cabinets above, everything lay close to hand. Except for keeping her balance, the movements of the ship did not bother her the way they did Nynaeve. She had given up offering Nynaeve food after the third time the wisdom threw the bowl at her. "I'm worried about Rand," she said. "I'm worried about all of them," Nynaeve replied dully. After a moment, she said, "Another dream last night? The way you've been staring at nothing since you got up." Egwene nodded. She had never been very good at keeping things from Nynaeve, and she had not tried with the dreams. Nynaeve had tried to dose her at first, until she heard one of the Aes Sedai was interested. Then she began to believe. "It was like the others. Different, but the same. Rand is in some kind of danger. I know it. And it is getting worse. He's done something, or he's going to do something, that puts him in..." She dropped down on her bed and leaned toward the other woman. "I just wish I could make some sense of it." "Channeling?" Nynaeve said softly. Despite herself, Egwene looked around to see if anyone was there to hear. They were alone, with the door closed, but still she spoke just as softly. "I don't know. Maybe." There was no telling what Aes Sedai could do. She had seen enough already to make her believe every story of their powers, and she would not risk eavesdropping. "I won't risk Rand. If I did right, I'd tell them. But Moiraine knows, and she hasn't said anything. And it's Rand. I can't. I don't know what to do." "Has Anaya said anything more about these dreams?" Nynaeve seemed to make it a point never to add the honorific Sedai, even when the two of them were alone. Most of the Aes Sedai appeared not to care, but the habit had earned a few strange looks, and some hard ones. She was going to train in the White Tower, after all. "The wheel weaves as the wheel wills," Egwene quoted Anaya. "The boy is far away, child, and there's nothing we can do until we know more. I will see to testing you myself once we reach the White Tower, child." "Ah! She knows there is something in these dreams. I can tell she does. I like the woman, Nynaeve. I do. But she won't tell me what I want to know. And I can't tell her everything. Maybe if I could..." "The man in the mask again?" Egwene nodded. Somehow she was sure it was better not to tell Anaya about him. She could not imagine why, but she was sure. 3 times the man whose eyes were fire had been in her dreams, each time when she dreamed a dream that convinced her Rand was in danger. He always wore a mask across his face. Sometimes she could see his eyes, and sometimes she could only see fire where they should be. "He laughed at me. It was so contemptuous. as though I were a puppy he was going to have to push out of his way with his foot. It frightens me. He frightens me. Are you sure it has anything to do with the other dreams, with Rand? Sometimes a dream is just a dream. Egwene threw up her hands. And sometimes, Nynaeve, you sound just like Anaya Sedai. She put a special emphasis on the title and was pleased to see Nynaeve grimace. If I ever get out of this bed, Egwene. A knock at the door cut off whatever Nynaeve had been going to say. Before Egwene could speak or move, the Amyrlin herself came in and shut the door behind her. She was alone, for a wonder. She seldom left her cabin, and then always with Lyanna at her side, and maybe another of the Aes Sedai. Egwene sprang to her feet. The room was a little crowded with three of them in it. "Both of you feeling well?" the Amyrlin said cheerily. She tilted her head at Nynaeve. "Eating well, too, I trust? In good temper?" Nynaeve struggled to a sitting position with her back against the wall. "My temper is just fine, thank you." "We are honored, Mother," Egwene began, but the Amyrlin waved her to silence. "It's good to be on the water again, but it grows boring as a mill pond after a while with nothing to do." The ship heeled, and she shifted her balance without seeming to notice. "I will give you your lesson today." She folded herself onto the end of Egwene's bed, feet tucked under her. "Sit, child." Egwene sat, but Nynaeve began trying to push herself to her feet. "I think I will go on deck." "I said sit!" The Amyrlin's voice cracked like a whip, but Nynaeve kept rising, wavering. She still had both hands on the bed, but she was almost upright. Egwene held herself ready to catch her when she fell. Closing her eyes, Nynaeve slowly lowered herself back to the bed. "Perhaps I will stay. It is no doubt windy up there." The Amyrlin barked a laugh. "They told me you had a temper in you like a fisher bird with a bone in its throat. Some of them, child, say you'd do well for some time as a novice, no matter how old you are. I say, if you have the ability I hear of, you deserve to be one of the accepted." She gave another laugh. "I always believe in giving people what they deserve. Yes, I suspect you will learn a great deal once you reach the White Tower." "I'd rather one of the warders taught me how to use a sword," Nynaeve growled. She swallowed convulsively and opened her eyes. "There is someone I'd like to use it on." Egwene looked at her sharply. Did Nynaeve mean the Amyrlin, which was stupid and dangerous besides, or Lan? She snapped at Egwene every time Lan was mentioned. "A sword," the Amyrlin said. "I never thought swords were much use, even if you have the skill, child. There are always men who have as much and a deal more strength. But if you want a sword..." She held up her hand. Egwene gasped, and even Nynaeve's eyes bulged, and there was a sword in it. With blade and hilt of an odd bluish white, it looked somehow cold. "Made from the air, child, with air. It's as good as most steel blades, better than most, but still not much use." The sword became a paring knife. There was no shrinking. It just was one thing, then the other. "This now is useful." The paring knife turned to mist, and the mist faded away. The Amyrlin put her empty hand back in her lap. "But either takes more effort than it is worth. Better, easier, simply, to carry a good knife with you. You have to learn when to use your ability as well as how, and when it's better to do things the way any other woman would. Let a blacksmith make knives for gutting fish. Use the one power too often and too freely, and you can come to like it too much. That way lies danger. You begin to want more of it, and sooner or later you run the risk of drawing more than you've learned to handle. And that can burn you out like a guttered candle, or..." "If I must learn all this," Nynaeve broke in stiffly, "I would as soon learn something useful. All this... Make the air stir, Nynaeve. Light the candle, Nynaeve. Now put it out. Light it again. Ha!" Egwene closed her eyes for a moment. "Please, Nynaeve. Please keep a check on your temper." She bit her lip to keep from saying it out loud. The Amyrlin was silent for a moment. Useful, she said at last. Something useful. You wanted a sword. Suppose a man came at me with a sword. What would I do? Something useful, you can be sure. This, I think. For an instant, Egwene thought she saw a glow around the woman at the other end of her bed. Then the air seemed to thicken. Nothing changed that Egwene could see, but she could surely feel it. She tried to lift her arm. It did not budge any more than if she were buried to her neck in thick jelly. Nothing could move except her head.
"Release me!" Nynaeve grated.
Her eyes glared and her head jerked from side to side, but the rest of her sat as rigidly as a statue. Egwene realized that she was not the only one held.
"Let me go!"
"Useful, wouldn't you say? And it is nothing but air." The Ammerlin spoke in a conversational tone as if they were all chatting over tea.
"Big man with his muscles and his sword, and the sword does him as much good as the hair on his chest." "Let me go, I say!"
"And if I don't like where he is, why, I can pick him up." Nynaeve squawked furiously as she slowly rose, still in a sitting position, until her head almost touched the ceiling. The Ammerlin smiled. "I've often wished I could use this to fly. The records say Aes Sedai could fly in the Age of Legends, but they aren't clear on how exactly. Not this way, though. It doesn't work like that. You might reach out with your hands and pick up a chest that weighs as much as you do. You look strong. But take hold of yourself however you will, you cannot pick yourself up." Nynaeve's head jerked furiously, but not another muscle of her twitched.
"The light burn you, let me go!"
Egwene swallowed hard and hoped she was not also to be lifted. "So," the Ammerlin continued, "big, hairy man and so forth. He can do nothing to me, while I can do anything at all to him. Why, if I had a mind to..." She leaned forward, her eyes intent on Nynaeve. Suddenly her smile did not seem very friendly. "I could turn him upside down and paddle his bottom. Just like..." Suddenly the Ammerlin flew backwards so hard, her head rebounded from the wall, and there she stayed, as if something were pressing against her. Egwene stared, her mouth dry. "This isn't happening. It isn't."
"They were right," the Ammerlin said. Her voice sounded strained, as though she found it hard to breathe. "They said you learned quickly, and they said it took your temper burning to get to the heart of what you can do."
She took a struggling breath.
"Shall we release each other together, child?"
Nynaeve, floating in the air with her eyes ablaze, said,
"You let me go right now, or I'll..."
Abruptly, a look of amazement came over her face, a look of loss. Her mouth worked silently. The Ammerlin sat up, working her shoulders.
"You don't know everything yet, do you, child?
Not the hundredth part of everything. You did not suspect I could cut you off from the true source. You can still feel it there, but you can't touch it any more than a fish can touch the moon. When you learn enough to be raised to full sisterhood, no one woman will be able to do that to you. The stronger you become, the more Aes Sedai it will take to shield you against your will. Do you think now you want to learn?" Nynaeve pressed her mouth shut in a thin line and stared her in the eye grimly. The Ammerlin sighed. "If you had a hair less potential than you do, child, I would send you to the Mistress of Novices and tell her to keep you the rest of your life. But you will get what you deserve." Nynaeve's eyes widened, and she had just time to start a yell before she dropped, hitting her bed with a loud thud. Egwene winced. The mattresses were thin and the wood beneath hard. Nynaeve's face stayed frozen as she shifted the way she sat, just a fraction. "And now," the Ammerlin said firmly, "unless you would like further demonstration, we will get on with your lesson. Continue your lesson, we might say."
"Mother?" Egwene said faintly.
She still could not twitch below her chin. The Ammerlin looked at her questioningly, then smiled.
"Oh, I am sorry, child. Your friend was occupying my attention, I'm afraid."
Suddenly, Egwene could move again. She raised her arms just to convince herself that she could. "Are you both ready to learn?"
Yes, mother, Egwene said quickly.
The Ammerlin raised an eyebrow at Nynaeve. After a moment, Nynaeve said in a tight voice, Yes, mother. Egwene heaved a sigh of relief.
Good. Now then, empty your thoughts of everything but a flower bud.
Egwene was sweating by the time the Ammerlin left. She had thought that some of the other Aes Sedai had been hard teachers, but that smiling, plain-faced woman coaxed out every last drop of effort, drew it out, and when there was nothing left, she seemed to reach into you and pulled it out. It had gone well, though. As the door closed behind the Ammerlin, Egwene raised one hand. A tiny flame sprang to life, balanced a hair-breadth above the tip of her forefinger, then danced from fingertip to fingertip. She was not supposed to do this without a teacher, one of the accepted at the very least, to watch over her, but she was too excited at her progress to pay any mind to that. Nynaeve bounded to her feet and threw her pillow at the closing door.
That vile, contemptible, miserable hag! The light burn her! I'd like to feed her to the fish! I'd like to dose her with things that would turn her green for the rest of her life! I don't care if she's old enough to be my mother. If I had her in Emmons Field, she wouldn't sit down comfortably for...
Her teeth ground so loudly that Egwene jumped. Letting the flame die, Egwene put her eyes firmly on her lap. She wished she could think of a way to sneak out of the room without catching Nynaeve's eye. The lesson had not gone well for Nynaeve, because she had held her temper on a tight lead until the Ammerlin was gone. She never could do very much unless she was angry, and then it all burst out of her. After failure upon failure, the Ammerlin had done everything she could to rouse her again. Egwene wished Nynaeve could forget she had been there to see or hear any of it. Nynaeve stalked stiffly to her bed and stood staring at the wall behind it, her fist clenched at her side. Egwene looked longingly at the door.
It was not your fault, Nynaeve said. And Egwene gave a start.
Nynaeve turned to look down at her. It was not your fault, she repeated, sounding unconvinced. But if you ever breathe one word,
Not a word, Egwene said quickly. I don't even remember anything to breathe a word about.
Nynaeve stared at her a moment longer, then nodded. Abruptly, she grimaced.
Light. I did not think anything tasted worse than raw sheep's tongue root.
I'll remember that the next time you act the goose, so watch yourself. Egwene winced. That had been the first thing the Ammerlin had done trying to rouse Nynaeve's anger. A dark glob of something that glistened like grease and smelled vile had suddenly appeared, and while the Ammerlin held Nynaeve with the power, had been forced into the wisdom's mouth. The Ammerlin had even held her nose to make her swallow. And Nynaeve remembered things, if she had seen them done once. Egwene did not think there was any way of stopping her if she took it into her mind to do it. For all her own success in making a flame dance, she could never have held the Ammerlin against a wall.
At least being on the ship isn't making you sick anymore.
Nynaeve grunted, then gave a short, sharp laugh.
I'm too angry to be sick.
With another mirthless laugh, she shook her head. I'm too miserable to be sick. Light, I feel as if I've been dragged through a knothole backwards. If that is what novice training is like, you will have incentive to learn quickly. Egwene scowled at her knees. Compared to Nynaeve, the Ammerlin had only coaxed her, smiled at her successes, sympathized with her failures, then coaxed again. But all the Aes Sedai had said things would be different in the White Tower. Harder, though they would not say how. If she had to go through what Nynaeve had day after day, she did not think she could stand it. Something changed in the motion of the ship. The rocking eased, and feet thumped on the deck above their heads. A man shouted something Egwene could not quite make out. She looked up at Nynaeve.
Do you think? Tar Valon?
There is only one way to find out, Nynaeve replied, and determinedly took her cloak from its peg. When they reached the deck, sailors were running everywhere, heaving at lines, shortening sail, readying long sweeps. The wind had died to a breeze, and the clouds were scattering now. Egwene rushed to the rail.
It is! It is Tar Valon!
Nynaeve joined her with an expressionless face.
The island was so big, it looked more as if the river split in two than contained a bit of land. Bridges that seemed to be made of lace arched from either bank to the island, crossing marshy ground as well as the river. The walls of the city, the shining walls of Tar Valon, glistened white as the sun broke through the clouds. And on the west bank, its broken top leaking a thin wisp of smoke, Dragon Mount reared black against the sky, one mountain standing among flatlands and rolling hills. Dragon Mount, where the dragon had died. Dragon Mount, made by the dragon's dying. Egwene wished she did not think of Rand when she looked at the mountain. A man channeling. Light help him. The River Queen passed through a wide opening in a tall, circular wall that thrust out into the river. Inside, one long wharf surrounded a round harbor. Sailors furled the last sails and used sweeps alone to move the ship's stern first to its docking. Around the long wharf, the other ships that had come downriver were now being snugged into their berths among the ships already there. The white flame banner set workers scurrying along the already busy wharf. The Armerlin came on deck before the shorelines were tied off, but dock workers ran a gangplank aboard as soon as she appeared. Lyanna walked at her side, flame-tipped staff in hand, and the other Aes Sedai on the ship followed them ashore. None of them so much as glanced at Egwene or Nynaeve. On the wharf, a delegation greeted the Armerlin, shawled Aes Sedai bowing formally, kissing the Armerlin's ring. The wharf bustled, between ships unloading and the Armerlin's seat arriving. Soldiers formed up on disembarking, men set booms for cargo. Trumpet flourishes rang from the walls, competing with cheers from the onlookers. Nynaeve gave a loud sniff. It seems they've forgotten us. Come along, we'll see to ourselves. Egwene was reluctant to leave her first sight of Tar Valon, but she followed Nynaeve below to gather their things. When they came back topside, bundles in their arms, soldiers and trumpets were gone, and Aes Sedai too. Men were swinging back hatches along the deck and lowering cables into the holds. On the deck, Nynaeve caught a dockman's arm, a burly fellow in a coarse brown shirt with no sleeves. "Our horses," she began. "I'm busy," he growled, pulling free. "Horses'll all be took to the White Tower." He looked them up and down. "If you've business with the tower, best you take yourselves on. Aes Sedai don't hold with newlings being tardy." Another man, wrestling with a bale being swung out of the hold on a cable, shouted to him, and he left the women without a backwards glance. Egwene exchanged looks with Nynaeve. It seemed they really were on their own. Nynaeve stalked off the ship with grim determination on her face, but Egwene made her way dejectedly down the gangplank and through the tarry smell that hung over the wharf. All that talk about wanting us here, and now they don't seem to care. Broad stairs led up from the dock to a wide arch of dark redstone. On reaching it, Egwene and Nynaeve stopped to stare. Every building seemed a palace, though most of those close to the arch seemed to contain inns or shops from the signs over the doors. Fanciful stonework was everywhere, and the lines of one structure seemed designed to complement and set off the next, leading the eye along as if everything were part of one vast design. Some structures did not look like buildings at all, but like gigantic waves breaking, or huge shells, or fanciful wind-sculpted cliffs. Right in front of the arch lay a broad square, with a fountain and trees, and Egwene could see another square further on. Above everything rose the towers, tall and graceful, some with sweeping bridges behind them, high in the sky. And over all rose one tower, higher and wider than all the rest, as white as the shining walls themselves. "Fair takes the breath at first sight," said a woman's voice behind them. "At tenth sight for that, and at hundredth." Egwene turned. The woman was Aes Sedai. Egwene was sure of it, though she wore no shawl. No one else had that ageless look, and she held herself with an assurance, a confidence that seemed to confirm it. A glance at her hand showed the golden ring, the serpent biting its own tail. The Aes Sedai was a little plump, with a warm smile, and one of the oddest appearing women Egwene had ever seen.
Her plumpness could not hide high cheekbones. Her eyes had a tilt to them, and were the clearest, palest green, and her hair was almost the color of fire. Egwene barely stopped herself from goggling at that hair, those slightly slanted eyes.
Ogier built, of course, the Aes Sedai went on. And their best work ever, some say. One of the first cities built after the breaking. There weren't 500,000 people here altogether then, no more than 20 sisters, but they built for what would be needed.
It is a lovely city, Nynaeve said. We are supposed to go to the White Tower. We came here for training, but no one seems to care if we go or stay.
They care, the woman said, smiling. I came here to meet you, but I was delayed speaking with the Amarlin. I am Shiriam, the mistress of novices.
I am not to be a novice, Nynaeve said in a firm voice, but a little too quickly. The Amarlin herself said I was to be one of the accepted.
So I was told, Shiriam sounded amused. I have never heard of it being done so before, but they say you are exceptional. Remember, though, even one of the accepted can be called to my study. It requires more breaking of the rules than for a novice, but it has been known to happen.
She turned to Egwene as if she had not seen Nynaeve frown.
And you are our new novice. It is always good to see a novice come. We have too few these days. You will make 40. Only 40. And no more than 8 or 9 of those will be raised to the accepted. Though I don't think you will have to worry about that too much, if you work hard and apply yourself. The work is hard, and even for one with the potential they tell me you have, it will not be made any easier. If you cannot stick to it, no matter how hard it is, or if you will break under the strain, better we find it out now and let you go on your way, than wait until you are a full sister and others are depending on you. An Aes Sedai's life is not easy. Here we will prepare you for it, if you have in you what is required.
Egwene swallowed. Break under the strain?
I will try, Shiriam Sedai, she said faintly, and I will not break.
Nynaeve looked at her worriedly. Shiriam, she stopped and took a deep breath. Shiriam Sedai, she seemed to force the honorific out. Does it have to be so hard on her? Flesh and blood can only take so much. I know something of what novices must go through. Surely there's no need to try to break her just to find out how strong she is.
You mean what the Amarlin did to you today?
Nynaeve's back stiffened. Shiriam looked as though she were trying to keep amusement from her face.
I told you I spoke with the Amarlin. Rest your worries for your friend. Novice training is hard, but not that hard. That is for the first few weeks of being one of the accepted.
Nynaeve's mouth fell open. Egwene thought the wisdom's eyes were going to come right out of her head. To catch the few who might have slipped through novice training when they should not have. We cannot risk having one of our number, a full Aes Sedai, who will break under the stress of the world outside. The Aes Sedai gathered them both up, an arm around the shoulders of each. Nynaeve hardly seemed to realize where she was going.
Come, Shiriam said. I will see you settled in your rooms. The White Tower awaits.